Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, normally we gather together for worship to hear the proclamation of God's holy word. And every other month, we also have the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Why? And no, it's not just to change things up a bit. Rather, in the words of the Belgian Confession, Article 33, we believe that our gracious God, mindful of our insensitivity and weakness, has ordained sacraments to seal his promises to us and to be pledges of his goodwill and grace to us. He did so, that is, he established sacraments to nourish and sustain our faith. And therefore, the objective of the celebration this morning is to nourish and sustain our faith. Which brings me to the next question. What is faith? Now, here too, I could answer that question by going to another article in our confessions, Belgian Confession or the Heidelberg Catechism. But this time, let me once again draw your attention to Hebrews 11, verse 1, the last verse that we read. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, the author here words it this way, thinking of his first audience. And his first audience, that was Hebrews. Jews who had come to understand and had come to accept Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, as the long-awaited Messiah, as the one who was greater even than Moses, as the great priest who had presented to God the ultimate sacrifice for sin, as the ultimate Son of David, who now sits enthroned in heaven on high over all nations. But these Hebrews were in a minority. Many around them, and I'm not just talking about people out there, but mothers, fathers, siblings, children, relatives, fellow business people, many around them who they knew very well had not come to the same conviction. And this led to huge struggles. This led to incredible pressure. Pressure to turn the clock back, to forget about this Jesus of Nazareth, to look for someone else as the promised Messiah, someone who was still yet to come. This ran very deep. This divided families. It brought bitter rifts. People wouldn't talk anymore. Huge struggles to press on day by day in the way of faith in Jesus Christ. Of course, we're not Hebrews. And yet what the Holy Spirit does, he holds this passage in front of us today too, given the reality that we too struggle to go on in faith. Now, the reasons for our struggling can be very different. Perhaps we've had to deal with the death of a loved one, a sibling, parent, a grandparent. Some of us, quite a number of us, have gone through this in the past little while. Perhaps we have to deal with serious illness. Again, think of the Hying family. Think of the Grunewald family. Think of the Bethlehem family. This morning, think of Derek Koch. Perhaps we have ongoing personal struggles. Feelings of rejection, disappointment, anxiety, depression. Feelings that others around us may not have much of a clue about at all. We've all had to deal with the fallout of COVID, including anxiety about the disease itself and later variants, fear of more lockdowns, how matters will be handled going forward. And for many, this has led to this sad straining of relationships that we never saw coming. About how to handle this. About how to handle the government mandates. About how to deal with the vaccines. All of us, we've all had to, you could say, stick handle in the middle of all the many different narratives out there, from the mainstream media, from social media. We've all at least felt from these narratives how they can just grab you and how they can easily take your life over to the point that that becomes all important. We've all felt that. And each of us also needs to come to terms with the concerning developments in our culture. Bill C-4 this past week seems unstoppable, doesn't it? And it's so important, beloved, that time and again, in the midst of all this, that we deliberately take a step back to ponder again what faith truly is. For you see, faith is not just a vitamin pill to take when we come into tough times. Faith is not something we can just fall back on once in a while. Faith is not a pie in the sky. It's not something that will perhaps one day happen. Rather, in the words of Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Literally, it is. Faith is the being hoped for things, like, for example, a life free from all anxiety and worry, a life of depth of fellowship with our Savior, a life of harmony with everyone, a life of impeccable health and energy and strength, a life lived in a truly godly culture with godly media, a life of true holiness. Faith is the assurance of these things hoped for, a reality. That's literally what the text says. It's being utterly convinced that this indeed is what is coming, even if others scoff at that. It means seeing that as the way, as of way more value than anything this life has to offer. And therefore staying on that road as always the way to go no matter what. As the next words only underline, therefore strengthen, it is the conviction of things of things not seen. So let me repeat it. Faith is, not will be, but is, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now that puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Even if I have to die, it's not the end of the world. Think of Stephen in our devotions. It's true, life can become very hard here. But as Paul puts it to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, compared to what is coming, this life is but a slight momentary affliction. It will soon be gone. And then life in all its fullness will be there, a reality forever. That's so important for us to ponder. It's so important that we encourage each other with these words. That's so important to illustrate, to instruct our children about. This is what faith holds on to. And this is what faith looks like. This is what that holding on to looks like in this world. That's so important, love, for the cause of the gospel. It's so important that those around us, that they see from us what really matters, that they see from us where our focus and attention is, that they see from us how identity in Jesus Christ, that's what really counts. that they see where our hopes are. We could put it this way. That's so important to see what faith truly is. It's so important for us to serve as effective instruments in the hands of the Spirit. This is also so very important for our God. What gives our God more strength, or what gives our God more delight than to see His children walking in faith, charting through specific challenges in faith? As you read in the third letter of John, chapter 4, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And given that, it's so important for ourselves, for our children, for our neighbors, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of God Himself, it's so important that we examine our faith time and time again. That's what self-examination is all about. It's asking, how am I doing? The hoped-for things, how alive are these in my day-to-day thinking? The conviction of things not seen. Am I known more for my COVID convictions, one way or the other, or for my conviction of things not seen? We can even go further. Are my COVID convictions rooted in, are they subservient to the ultimate conviction? Or is there a disconnect here? What really is important to me? Where truly is my heart and my hope? And is that coming out on the ground? And beloved, please don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying this because I think some of you really ought to see that you shouldn't be coming to the table. No. In the words of the forum, page 604, we do not have a perfect faith. I say this rather as a reminder. Well, faith indeed is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. He's the author. Praise God for that. The Holy Spirit also calls us to keep in step with Him as He goes about this work. And now think of this. Why do we have the celebration of the Lord's Supper this morning? It's not fluke. It's not simply because we had it 2 months ago. Rather, our Lord has providentially and deliberately ensured that this celebration is happening today in Dunville Cuneiform Church. Why? Because He too is most concerned about the state, about the healthiness, about the strength, about the influence of your faith and of my faith. He too is concerned about its growth, about its health. And its growth and health, particularly given the circumstances that we currently find ourselves in. And He strengthens, He bolsters our faith, which often is weak, by reminding us with the tokens of bread and wine, reminding us of the suffering and death of our Savior. A suffering and death so that our sins can be forgiven, that we may indeed receive such a great inheritance and have such a tremendous hope. He strengthens, He bolsters our faith by instructing us to not only observe the bread and wine, but go a step further, to eat it each of us personally to eat it and drink it, thereby to assure us, yes, my child, this is for you too. Yes, you too. You have every reason to treat the inheritance as a sure reality, as a conviction. Isn't that beautiful? Never pondered deeply this concern of our Lord for the state of our faith, and thus for us. And come to the celebration. Come with your disappointments. Come with tears in your eyes. That's okay. Come to be consolidated in that awesome hope that we do have, thereby to get a new spring in your step, to receive the stamina, to press on in the way of faith day by day for your own sake, for the sake of many others. Press on day by day to the glorious promised land. Amen.